Second, the blessing of baptism. What benefits does baptism give? Which are these words and promises of God? Baptism benefits you three ways, but I'll start with one way that's not listed. It inoculates you from 12-step, how-to, purpose-driven, kingdom-building Christianity. Fallen hearts always want to be told what to do and to feel like they're doing something toward their salvation. Pastors, even Lutheran ones, meet these needs with programs, plans, stewardship. However, we confess in the Large Catechism, quote, every Christian has enough to study and to practice all his life. He always has enough to do to believe firmly what baptism promises and brings. Before asking yourself, what can I do for Jesus? First ask, what has he done for you in baptism? Baptism is not inert water. It's not like a household poison that has 99.7 inert ingredients and only 0.3% active. Baptism is all activity. It does something to lost and condemned persons. It does something to those imprisoned in the devil's lairs and death's deep haunts. It does something to those who are going to live forever one way or another, either in bliss or in pain, either dying or thriving. Baptism works, baptism rescues, baptism gives. All active words, all these words indicate not what you do, but what baptism does for you. Baptism works forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness Jesus paid for with his innocent life and guilty death on Good Friday is worked for you in baptism. It rescues you from death and the devil. Death whispers in your ear with every untimely passing, with every lump, with every noise at night, or every chill of the heart, you're mine. I determine when you go, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, but you go when I say. And the devil imprisons some with filthy, disgusting chains, others with velvet chains, and most with chains they're ignorant of. The three handfuls of water put on you in baptism sprung the dungeons of death, broke the chains of the devil, and rescued you. And while most people believe they are working their way back to God, unless eternal salvation is given to them, they're really digging down, down, down into a burning ring of fire. Baptism in time, that's what gives salvation for eternity. Now, how do I know baptism does such totally unbelievable things? I mean, we're talking about what looks to be like nothing but water. When you were initiated into the religion of Venus or Sybil, you were at least bathed in the blood of the bull. You went down into a pit and a bull was slaughtered above you. That's impressive. Research any American Indian initiation ritual. Much cooler than baptism. Baptism is not impressive, and yet its benefits are mind-blowing. We admit that in our Large Catechism. Quote, the blessings of baptism are so boundless that if timid nature considers them, it may well doubt whether they could all be true. So, how do we know the blessings of baptism are true? We answer that in baptism 2. We say baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation as the words and promises of God declare. Acts 2:38 says we are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 2:14 and 15 is clear. The devil held the power of death and that Christ came to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. 1 John 3:8 says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many as you who have been as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, clothed by Christ, you break death and devil's hold on you." And finally, 1 Peter 3 promises rather bluntly, baptism now saves you. All those passages that promise forgiveness, rescue, or gifts in Christ, they really point you back to your baptism, where you were baptized literally into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. For example, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Again, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Again, if God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, as it says, and you're in Christ by baptism, guess what? You're reconciled to Almighty God in baptism. Finally, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In baptism, you're greater than the god of this world, Satan. Here's the puzzlement. There are many, many words and promises of God that prove what benefits baptism gives, and yet our catechism only cites one. Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." That's it? Just one passage? And I'm betting dollars to donuts, most don't know, don't see how that even applies here. Well, let the large catechism teach us. Quote, "We must also learn for what purpose baptism was instituted. That is, what benefits, gifts, and effects it brings. Nor can we understand this better than from the words of Christ, 'He who believes and is baptized shall be saved.' To put it most simply, the power, effect, benefit, fruit, and purpose of baptism is to save. To be saved, we know, is nothing else than to be delivered from sin, death, and the devil, and to enter the kingdom of Christ and live with him forever." About the Lord's Supper in the Catechism, we say the fact that it forgives sins also means it gives life and salvation. And so in baptism, the fact that it saves means it must work forgiveness, it must rescue from death and the devil, and it must give salvation. But this one passage we quote is used by those who think baptism does nothing to beat us up. See, they say, baptism isn't necessary and doesn't give salvation. Only faith is needed because it says, whoever does not believe will be condemned. It doesn't say, whoever isn't baptized will be condemned. Also, from these same folks comes the error that baptism is only for believers, since baptism is nothing unless a person is a believer. So far from baptism working, rescuing, or giving anything, faith is the act of power. Now, don't think these are modern errors coming from contemporary non-denominational parachurches. These are ancient errors from the Radical Reformation. Luther responded to every one of them. If you can only baptize a believer, then you must believe that you are God. For only God can discern the hearts of men and know whether or not they believe. He said, as well, a person couldn't even be sure of faith, even in himself. And if true, that baptism was nothing unless a person is a believer, no work of God is anything unless a man believes it. That makes the power man, not God. That means that the Son is not the Son to an unbeliever. Earth, water, air, every good gift of God is made nothing by unbelief. Luther said that the men who believe such things are not possessed men, but, quote, are themselves demons, possessed by even worse demons. If God's gifts temporal or spiritual, depend upon our assenting. Our assenting, yes. They would have to descend into nothingness with our dissenting no. What Mark 16 really proves is that nothing from us needs to be added to baptism. No works, no promises to do better, no excuses for doing worse. No blood, sweat, or tears from us need to be added to that font. Baptism contains all that Jesus earned with his blood, sweat, and tears. Faith in your baptism, faith in God's working, rescuing, and giving in your baptism receives all that Jesus earned. Faith only receives from Jesus. It doesn't do for Jesus. Faith doesn't empower baptism. It receives God's power to forgive, rescue, and save that's in baptism. The reason the second part of the passage does not say whoever isn't baptized and doesn't believe will be condemned is that he that doesn't believe is already condemned, whether baptized or not. So, if there is more than a lifetime of benefits in our baptism, why don't we use them day to day? Luther comforted himself and others not with the doctrine of baptism, but with the fact that they were baptized. Luther would respond to despondent, the grieving, the frightened, the guilty, not like we do, with, it'll be okay. It'll all work out. Don't worry. No, he would say, you've been baptized. In the Large Catechism, we say that when our sins or conscience oppress us, we must retort, but I am baptized. And if I am baptized, I have the promise that I shall be saved and have eternal life, both in soul and body. Why, oh why, do I, go anywhere else but my baptism when sins oppress, death and devil distress, and hell molest? Why isn't my baptism the answer of a good conscience towards God, as 1 Peter 3:21 says? Why don't I see with Hebrews 10 that I have a heart sprinkled clean from a guilty conscience by the waters of baptism that touched my body? Why, when I'm feeling dead in my trespasses and sins, don't I run to baptism, which Titus 3 declares to me to be a washing of rebirth? Why, when I feel no peace, no sense, no grace, find nowhere to rest, don't I retreat to what 1 Peter 1 says, that my baptism is the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, giving me grace and peace in abundance? Your conscience may chant, sinner, 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 but your baptism positively orders, sin, disturb my soul no longer. I am baptized into Christ. Now, Satan, it is true, laughs with delight. Any day the music of faith, hope, love, and joy die in your heart. But your baptism commands the devil himself, and he must obey, because the voice of Christ speaks there. Your baptism commands, Satan, drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And with that, cue the green scales to fall like rain, the head to be bent in sorrow, and Satan, that mighty dragon, slips into his cave. Sure. The fear of death quakes the very ground that we stand on, declaring that because we're sinners, we're at its mercy. But your baptism speaks truth to death's power, saying, death, you cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ. Baptism has the strength divine to make life immortal mine. You know why we don't go to our baptism? We weren't taught to. The hymn I've been referring to is an 18th century Lutheran one. But I was never taught to rely, to use, or to trust in my baptism. In the equation, he promises, we believe, all the emphasis was put on my believing. That's Protestant Christianity. That's American civil religion. It's all about you, your choice, your decision, your believing. Contrast this with our confession since 1529. For my faith does not constitute baptism, but receives it. The more baptism is preached into your ears, like Luther did, as a water that takes away sin, death, and all sadness, and helps all the way to heaven, and a water that is a precious aromatic medicine, not mere clear, odorless, tasteless water. The more that sort of baptism is preached, the more it will benefit you. Amen.